Dostal versus Dostal.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Nick Freshel. I'm the attorney for the appellant in this matter, Samantha Lozos, formerly known as Dostal. I would ask to reserve 2 minutes of my argument time for a rebuttal, if I can, please. This case is an appeal from an April 15, 2015 order of the District Court of Colfax County related to a complaint for modification brought by Ms. Lozos, asking the court to modify the joint legal custody award previously entered by the court per stipulation of the parties at the time of their original dissolution of marriage proceedings. The parties are the parents of one minor child that was born during the course of the marriage and awarded joint legal and physical custody on a one-week on, one-week off parenting schedule at the time of the dissolution. Again, that was done by agreement of the parties. I believe this case highlights a couple of problems that sometimes exist in family law cases as we come before the court and before the Court of Appeals on these matters. And the first is that the process used to make the temporary determination in this matter, in which the court had very little time to make the decision because the action was not filed until just prior to the school year starting, left the court with only an affidavit temporary hearing. And the court did enter an order from there. And further, I think that the court failed to address the real issue at hand. It's easy to get drug into the idea that this is an argument between the Howells Dodge schools, where the appellee was proposing that the minor child go to school, and the Columbus schools, where Ms. Lozos was proposing that the minor child go to school. And I would submit to the court that that's not really the argument here. Well, that precipitated the filing with the court and brought the issue before the court. The real argument before the court today and that was before the district court is which parent is appropriate to have the final decision-making authority for this child. And unfortunately, the second issue perhaps that's highlighted is the issue that exists when we don't have a complete parenting plan reached when we come into the court and say we have a settlement agreement, because the parties never addressed the educational issue at the time of the original divorce decree, either through mediation or through the settlement agreement at that point in time. And so that issue, while the agreement says the parties have joint legal custody, which gives them joint decision-making authority for educational and other major decisions of life, didn't specifically address the issue of where will this child go to school. And so we reach just before the child entering into a kindergarten, and the parties still don't have an agreement. I believe that the evidence, the overwhelming evidence submitted to the district court, showed that Ms. Lozos demonstrated the decision-making process, the efforts, and the overall idea of cooperation that a court would want to see a custodial parent make, or a parent with final decision-making authority make, when making a major decision for a minor child. She initially, as the evidence showed, contacted Mr. Dostal in January of the year before the child was to begin kindergarten and tried to address these issues. And his responses were limited. The record shows that he didn't really respond at all until they got into May of that year, and then they tried to go to mediation at that point in time, could not resolve the issue, and ended up before the court. I believe that the district court erred in determining that Mr. Lozo should have the final decision. Excuse me, Mr. Dostal should have the final decision-making authority for three reasons. First, Mr. Dostal's history and actions don't show that he has the capacity, or at least that he's demonstrated the capacity, to be the parent entrusted with this type of decision-making authority. When we look solely at the school issue in a vacuum, Ms. Lozos, when she began making the decision, looked at the school testing records for both Lost Creek Elementary School in Columbus and the Howells Dodge School. She then scheduled an appointment to meet with the principal at Lost Creek and toured Lost Creek Elementary School. She then attempted to contact the principal at Howells Dodge. Unfortunately, he was not available and was not taking appointments until after the school year began.
She was looking at a school district she didn't even live in, correct?
Well, yes. As far as the districting lines in the city of Columbus, that would not have been her assigned school district. I believe there was evidence from the principal of Lost Creek at trial that said that he was not aware of any situation where somebody had not applied to waive into the school district where they had been denied. She was selecting the school that she thought was best suited for this child, based on the testing scores, the differentiated curriculum that was available, and what she thought would best meet the child's needs.
The standardized testing that she was relying on, though, wasn't the evidence that it really wasn't indicative of whether a child would succeed?
Yes, and I don't disagree with that testimony. And that's why, again, I go back to my initial statement that this really isn't an issue of the House Dodge versus Lost Creek. This is an issue of the decision-making efforts made by the parents here and who should have that final decision-making authority. Whether you find that the testing scores are the determinative factor, that's really a beauty in the beehive, the old holder situation. Some parents may find that to be very, very important. Some parents may find that to be not important at all and not indicative of how a child would ultimately do. But the efforts made by Ms. Lozos are what's important here, and that is that she had contacted both schools. She had attempted to tour both schools. She had attempted to discuss this matter with Mr. Dostal. And I think it's indicative and important that we look at the text message exchange that occurred, because Mr. Dostal, on the other hand, in his text message says, well, I want House Dodge because that's where I went to school. Well, I don't know, again, if that is an appropriate reason for selecting a school. I would submit that it's probably not any more determinative than test scoring as to how a child will do success-wise.
She also, didn't their daughter also have a history, though, of having attended preschool?
Well, that's the argument that was attempted to make, but again, like many things, on cross-examination, it became clear that the preschool or nursery school that was being referred to was a one-week program. It wasn't an extended pre-K one-year program. She had went there for a week period of time for a couple hours a day over 1 year and then the next year through the FLA or the one of the programs through the high school. So this wasn't an accredited preschool or pre-K program. This was just something that the high school kids put on. Mr. Dostal's efforts, again, are concerning as far as what efforts he made to look at the two schools. He supposedly, according to his testimony, had at least talked to a secretary at Lost Creek and then showed up that day without an appointment to meet the principal. And that was all his efforts were, to look at Lost Creek. Again, I would submit to the court that the second issue is Mr. Dostal's overall decision-making abilities. And he claimed at trial initially on testimony, much like the preschool issue, that the child had, that he had looked at the ACT scores. And then on cross-examination, it comes out that, in fact, he hadn't looked at those in advance of the child going to school there. He looked at those the day before trial. The affidavit submitted by Mr. Dostal on the temporary issue, and he submitted the affidavits of several witnesses, including Marla Pruis, Daryl Hegeman, and Susan Picorni, that all of those individuals testified that they were submitting affidavits based on their personal knowledge and observations. And yet, on cross-examination, each one of those witnesses admit, well, this was based on things that Mr. Dostal had told us, not on things that we had personally observed. And again, I think that draws into question Mr. Dostal's overall decision-making. If we look at his overall decision-making, there was also evidence that Mr. Dostal had at one time left the minor child alone with his sister and her boyfriend, who was a registered sex offender.
From my recollection of the record, there was evidence that both sides had issues that either side could talk about that left the other one wanting for being the best parent in the world. But given the fact that this is an abuse of discretion standard of review, and we give deference to the trial court for hearing the witnesses and listening to the evidence and obviously making a determination of credibility and those kinds of things, where is the abuse of discretion here?
Well, I think the abuse of discretion exists in again, that the overwhelming facts and evidence to the court, and the undisputed ones, show that Ms. Lozos utilized the decision-making that this court would want to see a custodial or final decision-making authority make. To the contrary, Mr. Dostal did not demonstrate any of those in evaluating the two schools. He didn't look at either of the schools. He claimed he looked at the ACT scores, but that was only the day before trial. And so, again, I think the overwhelming evidence and the undisputed evidence is that Ms. Lozos demonstrated that decision-making ability that we would want to see. I understand the court's position that there may have been issues on both sides of the equation. I would direct the court to Mr. Dostal's brief on page 7 when he indicates, in essence, yes, this happened one time I left the child. Ms. Lozos brought this to my attention that she didn't like it, and then I never did it again. If your decision-making relies on the other parent telling you, don't leave the child alone with the sex offender, then perhaps you're not the parent that should have the final decision-making authority.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. My name is Stan Emerson. I represent Michael Dostal, the appellee in this case. And Judge Pirtle, I think you hit the nail on the head identifying the principles and the standard of review. This is exactly the type of case that we entrust to the discretion of the trial court, of the district court in this particular case. And absent any abuse of discretion, that decision should be affirmed, and that's what we're requesting here. In addition, when evidence is in conflict, we give weight to the fact that the trial court heard the evidence, saw the witnesses, saw the demeanor of the witnesses, and made a decision based on that. This case is very simply a case of who should have the final say. The parenting plan provided for joint legal custody, joint physical custody, and there were a multitude of decisions that the parties had over the years prior to this issue. Where they made those sorts of decisions. Where should she attend class? Where should she go to a dance class, that is? Where should she go to preschool? Where should she go to nursery school? Should she play soccer here or there? Should she do t-ball here or there forever and ever? Those sorts of decisions came up. Those decisions were made. And I would have to correct opposing counsel. She attended nursery school in the Howells Dodge School District, so to speak, and nursery school was about 1 week once a year or 2 weeks during the school year, and that's all. The following year or years, the year preceding kindergarten, she attended preschool, which I believe was 3 days a week throughout basically the entire school year, the majority of the school year, so she did have a history there. She had a history with the community that goes back to her date of birth, in effect. I mean, that's where she was from. She knows that community. She knows her classmates, that sort of thing. It's interesting that appellant today argues that we shouldn't just be looking at the schools, that we should look at all of the decision-making abilities exhibited by both parents, when, in fact, the evidence that was presented clearly was directed and aimed at comparing two schools. One, the school where she resided with her father since the time of her birth, and the other, a school, Lost Creek School, which is part of the Columbus school system. He was being asked to consider that school when, in fact, Mom didn't live in the Columbus School District. She lives in the Lakeview Shell Creek School District. Mom didn't compare that school. Mom didn't compare any of the other five elementary schools in the Columbus Public School System. She singled out the Lost Creek School for her own reasons.
Mr. Emerson, from what I recall of the record, really the only two issues were the school and then the domestic violence on Mom's part with her, I don't know if that was her husband,
It wasn't her husband,
boyfriend.
But she had a child with that man. Yes.
Okay, so the domestic violence on that side, and then the boyfriend sex offender on dad's side. Is there really anything else that the court was asked to look at in making
this
determination?
No, I think those were the three issues that the court was asked to look at. And I'll just go to the sex offender issue. Certainly, that's not a good decision by dad, and I would not stand up here and tell you it was a good decision. It happened on one occasion, and fortunately there were no ill effects from that. With respect to the decision made by mom with the boyfriend that she had a child with, that was a decision that was ongoing for over 2 years, where that man was allowed to take care of the child overnight, 12 hours a day, 3 days a week, every other week when mom had that child there. That was an ongoing decision that continued on for a long time. Both parents could have made better decisions. I'm sure that if either parent, if you would ask them today, they would both indicate they would not make the same decisions they made, but they did, and that was an error on both of their parts. But when we looked at the schools, it was clear that the appellant's position was this school is far superior to the Howells Dodge School, and there was nothing in the evidence to support that. After the parties testified, their lead witness was a lady from the Department of Education, Ms. Foy, and she ended up saying, I think over the past 3 years, Howells Dodge graded higher in 4 of the standardized tests and Lost Creek in 3 of the tests. With respect to the entire Columbus Public School systems, the only thing we know are the ACT scores, and Howells Dodge scored higher there. So if you want to look at standardized tests, it appears Howells Dodge is the better school. My client doesn't feel that's the only comparison that you can look at. You look at what kind of relationship they have with fellow students, with their teachers, with the school, with the community. And Lydia, the minor child, had none of those with the Columbus Public School System. And it's important to point out, if mom wanted to send her to Lost Creek, she hadn't even applied to go to Lost Creek for the up-and-coming school year. This trial was February 27th, I think. She had not yet applied for anything as far as permission to go to the Columbus Public Schools.
She had applied the previous year.
She did the previous year,
and
yes.
Wasn't there testimony indicating that whenever anybody is asked to be able to come into the school, it's that the principal was not aware of any situation where it wasn't allowed?
What the principal testified to is that he was only aware of the ones that would come in. If ones were denied, he wouldn't know of those. I think that's what his testimony was. She also testified that she had to specify 2 different schools with elementary schools, and the 2 she thought she asked for were changed. One of them was changed, and it was actually a different one that was submitted. But at any rate, she was, for the previous year, accepted into the Lost Creek School. However, she hadn't yet applied. We didn't know where the child might be going the next school year. There were arguments about busing, but the fact is she could be farther from some of those elementary schools in the Columbus or Lakeview school districts than she would be at the Howells Dodge school situation. Kindergarten and first grade, however, was just a block and a half away from his mother's, who was also the daycare provider. Mr. Dostal did look at this. He did consider it. There's no evidence that would indicate at any time that he doesn't put his daughter first, that he isn't involved in her life, that he doesn't involve her in everyday decisions and what to plant in the garden, when to go hunting for deer, which is really more like a nature expedition, it would appear, what to do in the town, in the community that they live in. He's an active, involved father. There's no reason to now, at this point in time, uproot that decision-making that's been going on. The evidence was also clear that for the kindergarten year that she attended school there, she was excelling at school. Both parents testified that she was doing well in the school that dad had made the decision to place her in. They were both involved. Both parents were involved with that school. Both parents would drive to various activities in the 2 communities that they were required to drive back and forth to. But there's no reason to be rocking the boat, it would appear to us. And that's, in effect, what we're being asked to do. Certainly, this involves more than just the schools, but the issue that was presented to the court primarily was which school should she be attending, because the other decisions, they were able to reach a mutually acceptable and agreeable kind of a decision on already. So we would ask that you affirm the decision of the district court. that you affirm Judge Gilbride and dismiss the appeal. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. How much out of time?
Oh, I was out of time?
You're out of time.
I apologize. I didn't realize there were
Never hurts to ask.
That's right. So, case is submitted. Counsel is excused, and that concludes.